More than 5 years ago now, I started listening to one of my all-time favorite podcasts. It was a podcast called How I Built This with Guy Raz, and it came along at a time when I honestly most needed it. After the initial success and growth of my first business, The Chalk Pot, it's a dessert bar in Sydney, we were in one of our cyclical downturns. At that time, we had 4 stores running, but sales were struggling. I was in mediation with a particular landlord and trying to negotiate rental abatement with another. We couldn't pay bills and we had to start downshifting the number of staff we had working. It was honestly a really dark and horrendous time for us. Listening to this podcast, How I Built This, and the stories that each guest shared made me feel like I was not as alone in the entrepreneurship world. And not only that, but each and every one of these entrepreneurs had their own downturn stories and had somehow found a way out of it, which gave me this immense amount of hope that we would also hopefully be able to do the same. At the time, I was so, so grateful to Guy and his guests for creating this outlet for me. And it got me wondering, with all this value that he was giving, what was he actually getting in return? Because in this world of capitalism, let's just be honest, everything has some type of value exchange. I was a listener of his podcast, but I had no idea how the podcasting world actually worked. How was he getting paid to do this? And then it hit me, of course. Like any other medium, he and NPR were building this huge audience with amazing content so that they could get paid to run ads. So for the longest time, this was my frame of reference and what made me hesitant to get into podcasting, because my frame of reference was that my podcast had to be huge, huge by way of listeners in order to monetize it in any way. But this is not the only way to monetize a podcast. And in fact, should not be the way that we experts monetize our podcasts, especially when we are starting with a small, small audience. So what is that way? What is the only way that we need to be monetizing our podcasts, and how do we do it? That's exactly what we're going to be diving into in this episode. My name is Deidre Shen, the CEO and co-founder of Capshow, the world's first AI-powered podcast copywriter, and this is the Grow My Podcast Show. Hey, hey, you. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Grow My Podcast Show. My name is Deidre Shen, the CEO and co-founder of Capshow. And in this episode, we are going to be talking about the only way to monetize a podcast, especially when you are an expert. And when I say expert, I mean coach, consultant, service provider, right? Anyone who does something so super cool to help make an impact on this world. Now, if you have listened to the first episode of this podcast, you would know that I made over $200,000 in my first year podcasting. It was actually $223,000 to be exact. And I didn't do that through ad revenue. Nope, it was in a completely different way that I monetized that podcast. A completely different way that I stumbled upon it. Almost accidentally. It was definitely not by design. I think it kind of came together so that it felt like it was by design by the end of it. But yeah, when we started, there was no design happening. So at the time, I was running a coaching business called The Growth Boss, which was helping e-commerce business owners grow their businesses. So I'd started a podcast because my mentor, Russell Brunson, had told me to, but that was the extent. That was the extent of all I knew. I didn't know how to get people to listen to it, and I certainly didn't know how to monetize it. Now, in the first episode of the Grow My Podcast Show, and honestly, in all the episodes since then, I laid out exactly what I did to start to grow it, to get more people listening to the podcast. In this episode, I'm going to deep dive into how we then monetized it to actually be able to do the multiple 6 figures in just that first year of podcasting. Sound good? So stick with me. We're going to take a quick ad break. And when we come back, I'm going to unveil the only way to monetize a podcast with a small audience and take you through the 1, 2, 3 steps of exactly how to do this. So I was just talking about my first coaching business called The Growth Boss and how I finally figured out how to monetize the podcast that we had started for that business. So let me set some context for that particular podcast. It was not huge. I think at the time I had maybe a couple dozen listeners who were consistently listening to the podcast. And yet not only was I able to grow that podcast to hundreds of consistent listeners, but I was able to do multiple six figures in that first year podcasting. So what is the key? The only way to monetize a podcast with a small audience, what is that key? It is to use your podcast as a specific lead gen and conversion engine. To help me take you through the three steps on exactly how to do this, I have my co-founder, Bonarai, here with me.
Hello.
So let's get into it. Let's get straight into how we actually monetize our podcast, especially when we have a small audience. Mm. So step number one, the first thing that you need to do is you have to actually create valuable podcast content that speaks directly to your ideal client, right? Even if that audience is small. So we talked in another episode, I forgot what number it was, but it was all about niching down.
Yes.
And honestly, how game-changing that was even for us, for our business, and in, like for Capture specifically, what we're doing now. So that's always going to be the starting point. And everyone tells you this, so it's not like we're saying something totally mind-blowing, but it is so, so true, right? You start with your ideal, who is your ideal client, and you create valuable content specific to them.
Yes.
And the reason why I say valuable, I mean, I think a lot of us sometimes have aspirations. I know I certainly did when we started our first podcast. I don't know how valuable it was. I think we just got on and we just started chatting.
Yes.
And honestly, I know I'm like this. We've had this conversation, Bonnie, you and I, where you could probably listen to a conversation. I can't.
As a podcast. Yes.
Yes. I can't. I'm like, I tune out. I'm like, I don't want to hear about what you had for breakfast. And funnily enough, that was one of the things we talked about.
I know.
And I'm like, why do we do that? I don't even like that kind of content. But you get so caught up in, well, you're having fun. You're creating this relationship on this podcast, but you're not necessarily thinking about the listener.
Yes. And I think that's exactly right. Like what you were saying, where if it is for someone who, yeah, they are looking for a lifestyle and whatever, something to listen to while they're cleaning or something, that's different.
Yes.
So this is, you're an expert. You're trying to teach your end clients something before they even get to know you or before they've even come into your world.
Yes.
So with that lens on,
yes,
makes a lot of sense that it's not really adding value.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I mentioned even before that the key really is to use your podcast as a lead gen and conversion machine. Because I've spoken to a lot of podcasts. I have another podcast called The Podcasting Entrepreneur, and I interview experts who podcast and I ask them, have they had success? How have they used their podcast to actually monetize? And time again, the common thread is actually as a conversion mechanism.
Because
really interestingly, there have been a couple of consultants who've been like, they've been on sales calls with potential clients and they're like, look, I'm not even going to sign you on yet. I need you to go listen to my podcast, these particular episodes, so that you know how I work, you know, how I think. And if you buy in, if you're behind that, then awesome, we can work together. And it's a really, really effective conversion mechanism because, it is you sharing your knowledge, your experience, your stories, the value that you add. So it is super, super powerful. Now, if you're just hopping on and having a chat, like that doesn't really show the value that you add. So this is why it's so important that you just get, I've done another podcast about storytelling. So it's not to say go straight into talking about the things. It's like you do need to bring yourself into, you need to bring experiences, you need to be a bit vulnerable and share how it is that you actually learned or earned these things.
Yes.
But that is what people are buying into, you as an expert.
That's right, because it doesn't mean that you skip that connection part, because that is very helpful, very, very important, because it's the lubricant for them to actually listen to the value part of what you're doing. But yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense that you're building that rapport through the lens of what they're looking to learn.
Exactly. Totally. And this value is actually going to have, it's going to be what people, it's going to be how you get your audience to actually binge listen to your whole podcast.
Yes.
And actually through that binge listening, that's how they're going to feel like they know you. So if you're looking to use your podcast as a lead gen machine, this is it. This is how you do it, right? Create valuable content that speaks directly to them. Like literally they could be listening to you. You're listing out their pain points and they're like, oh my gosh, how is she in my head right now? Right.
Yes.
This is how you bank up. And again, I spoke about the 7-hour rule. You want your audience to be with you for at least 7 hours, because by the time they do that, they're like, I'm in. Mm-hmm. This person knows me. They know where I'm at. They know how to get me out of this pain and these things that I'm feeling right now.
Yes.
And so that's why you have to make sure, you have to ensure that your podcast has that valuable content, valuable to that specific, your specific audience. Mm. So that's step number one.
Love it.
Okay. So then step number two is you have to have one offer and one funnel. Now, I actually, in the Honey Trap Marketing book that I've just authored, and it's on Amazon now. Yay. So definitely go check that out. It's called Honey Trap Marketing. I talk about this concept called lead attracting conversion event, mm-hmm. LACE for short, lead attracting conversion event. Now, the reason why I call it a lead attracting conversion event is because, again, as experts, so coaches, consultants, service providers, there's always a conversion event that we're sending people to. Mm. A lot of times it's a sales call, but other times it might be a webinar. It might be a challenge. There are a whole host of different things that you could be getting your audience to in order to convert them. Mm. And why they're lead attracting is because they're also very effective to get someone completely cold. So to attract them with this thing that they're going to learn, this thing that they're going to do, these outcomes that they're going to get. And you use that as not only to attract them as a lead, but also to convert them at the same time, which I'm all about efficiency. So I love that concept, right? Of just get them in at that same point. So let's talk about, how you need to have, and again, this was actually only a couple of weeks ago that our coach gave us a dressing down about this.
This happens way too often.
But we hopped on.
One funnel is a trigger word for us now. Like, oh, yes, only one funnel.
Yeah, because we hopped on a coaching call and we were like so proud of ourselves, because as we always, I think it's like if we're ever proud of ourselves, do not hop on a coaching call. I think we've learned because we're just going to get beaten down. No, it was awesome. It was. So basically we have our beta funnel, I guess. It's the way that we're getting people into our world to test our software. And that's really because we want feedback on it.
Yes.
And it's been incredibly, we've been so touched by the amount of, I guess, interest and people who've just been clamoring to get in, which has been awesome. But we are a startup and we do at some point need to start monetizing something. We need to start making money.
Yes.
So we were like, okay, well, let's launch a challenge funnel that will help people not only use the software, which does some awesome, awesome things, but actually now with all this time freed up, what else can they do to actually promote their podcast?
Yes.
How can they make this content that Capture is creating for them work for them? Mm. And so that's what we were like, we'll just do a challenge around it because we know the challenge model really well.
Yeah. We'll do a paid challenge and then we'll be able to monetize while we're getting people into it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what a great idea.
And so we hop on the coaching call and Coach Carl, if you're listening to this, hello. We love you. But he gave us a dressing down because he was like, guys, you have all these people who are clamoring to get into beta. You have this one funnel that is working. Why on earth would you try to stand up another funnel? And, we do the whole thing. But for this reason and for that reason and this. And he's just like, we're just more capable than other people. We've got more people than us. He's just like, no. Which is great. Like at the time, we do not like hearing that feedback. But then afterwards, because again, we're very coachable, we take that away and we're like, okay, how can we think about this differently? How can we make this work? And now we're on the other side of it and we're like, oh my God, dang it. He was right.
Again,
he was right the whole time. Focus on one funnel, one offer and one funnel. And so what we've done, because we do still have to monetize it, but we, with our beta funnel, we actually are going to monetize it as upsells and OTOs on the back end of that. So we kind of almost combined the two funnels. So we still only have one funnel, but honestly, being able to do that means that we can just talk about this one thing.
Yep.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Every ad that you will hear is likely going to be about this one thing. Mm. Every email that we send out, it's going to be about this one thing. So that's why it's so important to just focus on one thing and have and just drive people deliberately, intentionally to that thing.
And it's such a liberating thing around simplicity, creating room for more creativity, because like we said, we've got one funnel now, but having one funnel doesn't mean you just have the one way of approaching it. Now we can think about what are all the different ways we can drive people to this funnel and what are the different ways we can monetize that funnel. Mm-hmm. So the funnel itself is just the, but having, it's almost like getting rid of all of the different ways, because then that frees up this capacity to think about all the different ways you can actually get people there,
yes,
which includes your podcast, and then all of the different ways we can monetize that, yes, once the people are in.
Totally. And so if I think about the Growth Boss, when we had that coaching business, our one funnel at the time, we had a challenge funnel. So mm-hmm. every month we would run a free 5-day challenge. And that was what we were just talking about over and over and over again.
Yes.
And literally people would come and podcast, they would sign up because they heard about it. And by the time they were in the challenge, they had spent so much time listening to us that it very quickly became listening to us either through the challenge and also through the podcast, because again, we would hop on onboarding calls and they would mention the fact that they listened to the podcast.
Yes.
Right. Like that was such a common theme. So this is why it's so important, going back to step one of this, is keep providing value, because that's what keeps them on there, because it's, oh wow, yeah, I implemented this one thing that you spoke about. And that already, I already saw results. Like, what else do you have?
Yeah.
If I just paid for it.
Yeah. And if you are doing a date-based thing like we were doing with live challenges, it builds that momentum in the meantime, because while they're waiting for the challenge to start, they're yes. consuming your content. If it's an evergreen challenge, I mean, they can unlock it straight away.
Yes.
And I think it just does, like you said, this is a really good job of either keeping them really warm or keeping them really excited, both yes. of which are like really hard things to do when you're trying to run your business and
yeah.
acquire new people as well. So I think this has a lot of power. And it just also reminded me, another client of ours who I spoke to just recently, she's implemented the same thing, right? It's just and her one funnel right now, because she's busy building and she's taking on one-on-one clients while building out her digital part of her business, is it's just a CEO profile quiz. So regardless of where her organic content or everything just goes to this one quiz where, because she serves CEOs,
yeah,
they create a CEO profile and it gives them a sense of, and then it helps her on the back end to figure out where this person would sit on her value ladder. And for them, they get something. I think they, from filling out the quiz, they get some, you know, initial value again, because they can get a sense of how she works.
Yes.
And it's a great vetter as well for
yes.
people. So I think, again, there's lots of different ways you could do it. Challenge is one way. But as long as it just, everything is going to the one funnel, I think it's just a much more efficient and smarter way of working.
Totally. Totally. Okay. So quick recap. So the first thing is create valuable podcast content that speaks directly to your ideal client. Second step is to just have the one lead attracting conversion event funnel that you are always, always driving your potential client to. And then the third step, which is much, much more tangible thing, now that you know though you've got your great podcast content and you've got your ideal clients binge listening to it, you know where it is that you're driving them. So the third part, which is where Bonna definitely, I want you to share about how you do this, but it is about then constructing an ad read to that funnel. Mm. And so this podcast is actually a really great example of that, because you would probably, as you're listening to this episode, you would know that we do an ad read in the middle of it. And if you didn't know, if you don't know our voices by now, Bonna is actually the one who creates and does the ad reads.
Hello there. this is my ad read voice.
So Bonna, I do want you to talk our audience through how to actually construct or create that ad. How do they think through an effective ad read?
Mm.
And sorry, just before we get into that, this is so important, because a lot of us think that we need, the only way that we can monetize or the only way we can have any kind of ads on our podcast is if someone pays for it.
Mm.
You guys, you already have something so valuable and something like that is making you money. Why wouldn't you use your podcast to do your own ad reads?
Yeah.
Right? It's a no-brainer. So I hope that that's I didn't know if I had to say that or not.
But I think, well, I'm glad you did, because I was going to say it. I was going to tell the story of how when you first mentioned it to me, I was like, but it was so silly now. But yes. I'm like, A, like you said, you have to be paid for it. And B, it has to be someone else.
Yeah.
Right? Why did I think that? Because that's all I've listened to on podcasts. Like you say,
exactly.
I bought this where the host is reading for someone else.
Yes.
But this makes so much sense. I was like, I just remember not feeling uncomfortable, but going, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I had never thought of that.
Yes.
I'd never thought of that.
Because bottom line is you are a business yourself, right? You have a business, market the heck out of that business.
Everyone's like, oh yeah.
And your podcast, you have a platform already. So use it, use it, use it, use it. But this is only really effective, again, if you've done the first two steps, yes. right? Know who it is that you're speaking to and actually know where it is that you're sending them. Because yes. then your ad becomes super simple.
Yeah.
And you don't have to keep changing it. One call to action that is consistent, that each and every week or however many times you drop an episode that your audience is listening to it, they know what's coming up and they're like, oh yeah, I meant to do that thing. Let me go. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. You know. So anyway, yes. I'm going to get off my soapbox. Please, but
it's so important. Definitely make that adjustment like I had to first.
Yes.
I think I almost did a funny satirical version before we actually got into doing proper ad reads because yes. it was so neat. But the way that I think about ad reads is very, very simple. I think about them in four different sections, and I'm going to go into each of these sections separately. So the first thing, like anything, is you need an attention grabber. So it doesn't mean that you have to be all crazy, depending on your tone of voice. But when we think about a sales page, it's always the headline, right? So when we're reading something, we're quickly scanning what the title says before we decide. So like that, everyone's reaching for the ad skip button, right?
Yes.
Which you have recently discovered,
yes.
the skip button on when listening to a podcast. So that first part is really, really important. So here are a few different ways that you can have a super effective attention grabbing introduction to your ad read. And remember, it's just one sentence. So the first thing, one of our favorites, is to state a specific problem that you know your ideal client is having, that mm-hmm. only they would understand. So back in the Growth Boss days, I remember one of the episodes we did, again, not in this very strategic way, but that kept coming up when we were talking to clients, was we talked about, you know, one of the very specific pain points that e-commerce business owners have, which is just seeing their inventory pile up that they haven't been able to sell.
Yes.
It's just the worst stress in the world that they think other business owners rightfully don't really understand. Because if you're an online business owner and you sell info products, you're not thinking, you're trying to get sales, but nothing's banking up for you in that physical way.
Yes.
So yeah. That pain is so specific and so painful. They're like, oh my gosh, somebody gets it.
Yeah.
So I think just state that. For example, what's worse than staring at all of the inventory piling up? Could be in your house, could be in your warehouse, depending, doesn't matter which size,
yes.
The pain is the same.
Yeah.
A second way that you can really grab attention is just immediately start off with a result that you know your ideal customer is after. So people are either trying to avoid pain or they're seeking pleasure. We know this about mm-hmm. human beings. So this is very simple. Just go for something that, you know, a result, make it specific, that someone is going for. So for example, for Capture, imagine never having to write your podcast show notes from scratch again. If someone said that to me, I am there. I hate writing show notes. We have heard this time and again. Our ideal person is like, oh my gosh, so show.
Yes.
But imagine never having tried them from scratch again, right? People are like, tell me more, I'm not skipping this ad.
Yeah.
Not the sexiest thing, but. And then the third way of grabbing attention is sharing a statistic or a fun fact. Again, it depends on your sort of which way you vibe. Because then again, people love facts. And I'm not saying make up these things, but definitely pick strategically,
yes.
Right? So we talk a lot about the pod fade that people feel, like our current.
Yes.
Clients can feel. And then it's like 75% of podcasts that ever started don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a really useful statistic for us to share, because people go, oh, okay, that means I am in that 25%. Let me keep going.
Yeah.
But also that I am at risk of this happening. So I think really think about what are those statistics that you can share to hook people to say, wait, this is relevant.
Yes. Love that.
So that is the first part of the ad read. Just grab their attention, make sure that there is hit skip. Then the next thing you want to do, again, very concisely, is explain exactly how your product or solution solves their problem, their specific problem, right? So you've set the context for what it is that they need solved.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and this should be, you should have something that if anyone asks what you do, this is where you can test it.
Yes.
Because if you tell them the process, then people may not actually, but really, what is the outcome? So for ours, for Capture, it's going to turn your episode file into episode title, description, show notes, social media captions, transcript, and a promotional email. People are like, wow, I'm sold.
Yeah.
I normally hire someone to do this, or I don't even do it at all. Where do I sign up?
Yes.
For something like the Growth Boss, we're talking about the challenge. We were like, with our e-commerce business owners, in just 5 days, an hour a day is all you need. You're going to walk away with this irresistible product offer that will fly off the shelves. People are like, I've been struggling to get my product sold. Where do I sign up? So it's just that main result that you're speaking to that people are looking for. Sorry, your people are looking for and just want to state it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the second part of the ad read. And then the third part of the ad read, this one I would say is mandatory, but sometimes you may not have. So you've got to think about this a little bit creatively, is can you give social proof for what you just said,
yeah.
Essentially. And maybe when you're first starting out, you have to get a little bit creative.
Yes.
But some really powerful social proof that you can share is customer testimonials, of course. You can spotlight a positive review, or you can even mention it and say, check it out in our show notes if it's a little bit long. people have press coverage. Again, we know we feel how we feel about PR sometimes, but it is powerful. It's powerful. Totally. It's as simple as saying, as seen on blah. Yes. So just don't forget, don't. I struggle with this, but toot your own horn.
Yes.
Knowing this is where you can do it. It doesn't have to be a whole section on it. Just mention it. If you've worked hard to get it, you need to milk that baby.
Yeah.
So for us, one of our recent feedback that we got from one of our closed beta testers, my jaw literally dropped. I just want to say that in an ad somewhere, right? Everything I hate about podcasts and this program does for me. So I think even just that line,
yes,
people will relate, because people who love podcasting, there's bits they hate about it.
Yes.
So I think that sort of thing you really want to include in your ad read if you can as well. And then fourth and finally, very, very clear CTA as per step two of the framework that you've just been talking through. Have one offer and one funnel, so you only have one CTA.
Yes.
This is the very, very simple thing you need to do. Go and sign up for this challenge. Go and sign up for Capture Beta.
Yeah.
And then, of course, spell out the URL, which is one thing that I am still working on remembering to do. Always spell it out. And, of course, remind them that it's in the show notes for them to just click on through. But clear CTA, one CTA. Don't forget to state it. And normally I like to do it twice just so people, as they listen to it, can just quickly jot it down as well.
And by the way, pro tip on that CTA, this is something I learned from Dave Jackson, actually, from School of Podcasting. He was like, a lot of people, and you know, don't beat yourself up if you do this as well, because I know that Bonna did when she initially was doing ad reads, was you speed up and you just want to get through the CTA.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is the bit where I have to ask people to do something.
Yeah.
Or it's like, let's bore it. Like, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. And he was like, no, you have to do the exact opposite. You have to slow down and be very intentional with all the words that you're actually using in your CTA, because this is when you want people to really listen and know what to do. So that's just a pro tip, right? Mm. When you get to the part of saying, do this thing, slow down and just very intentionally tell them to sign up to the Capture Beta program for free at beta.capture.com.
See what I did?
Ad read book. That's my ad read voice.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. So just to recap. Okay. So there are three steps. This is the only way to monetize your podcast with a small audience. And I'm so glad that I'm talking to you podcasters, you experts who podcast, because you have something so compelling already that you should be like, you should be milking that. So use your podcast as your stage, as your platform to do ad reads to your conversion event. Okay, so what are the three steps to do that? Step number one, just focus on creating valuable podcast content that is speaking directly to your ideal client. Step number two, determine just one, only have one lead attracting conversion event funnel. Okay. And then step number three is just to do an ad read to that funnel. And obviously that ad read has to be in your podcast. So you don't just do the ad read and then, I don't know, not do anything with it. But you know,
yeah, that's step five of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Put your ad read into your podcast.
But there are areas, right? So that's what we commonly call either pre-roll, which is at the start of your podcast, post-roll, which is at the end, or mid-roll, which is what we do, which is in the middle of your podcast. So those are the three steps. If you guys, are we going to share a cheat sheet?
Yes.
In the show notes. Yes. So definitely head to the show notes, get in the cheat sheet if you want this on one page.
Definitely get in the cheat sheet. For sure.
Yeah. Insert yourself in there. Get in on the cheat sheet.
Yeah. Okay.
Get in on the cheat sheet. That's in the show notes. Get in on Beta Capture if you haven't already, because why wouldn't you? It's a no-brainer. And if you like this episode, please take a screenshot, share it on your socials, tag us, tag me. You don't need to tag Bonna. I think she's private anyway.
Tag Deirdre Shen, DeirdreTshien.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing that.
All right. Thank you, you guys. We'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.